liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer!
How we really love it.
Beer!
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer!
I could kiss and hug it.
Beer!
But I'd rather chuck it.
Beer!
Cut my belly up.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Stoffo.
Beer. We've come a long way from just wondering Schlitz or Schaefer. Now we have the world of craft beer. Our next guest is an expert. He hosts the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern on AM 970 The Answer in New York City. It is great to say hello to Al Gattulo. Al, welcome to the show.
Ed, Christina, great to be with you.
This is a lot of fun to have you on, and this is something we wanted to talk about for a while, so you're the perfect guy to talk about this. Let's start off, though, first with how the idea of this show came about. Tell us all about it.
Well, it's interesting. Like most Americans, I like beer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sure.
Well, you know, that's the easy way to start it off. So what happened was, and I'll tell the story very briefly. Last summer, I'm at the pool with my son, and a neighbor of mine says, hey, you know, I'm going to come meet you at the pool. Great. Okay. We get there. My son just jumps in the water. I'm just about to jump in, and they make the dreaded announcement that somebody has done something in the water.
Uh-oh.
And we have to get out.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So my neighbor, who had just walked in, says to me, what do you want to do? I said, come on, we'll come back to my house. We'll have a couple of beers in the backyard. It's a hot day. Okay. I grab this beer from Coronado Brewing in San Diego, California. So we drink the beer. I take a picture of it. I tweet it out. And within 2 seconds, Coronado Brewing starts following me on Twitter.
Wow.
The woman who is running their marketing messages me back, says, thank God we're getting some East Coast love from the West Coast and this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we'd love to send you some free beer. I said, sure, why not? So I get the beer. About a week later, they send me about 6 or 7 different bottles of beer. And my friend looks at me and says, you should do a show on this. This is great. People are sending you free beer. So I want to thank whoever it was that took care of business in the pool.
Look at that.
Because if it wasn't for that, this show wouldn't be here today.
That one little Lincoln log now spurred this whole career for you. I love this.
Way to find a positive out of a negative.
I like that.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
See that?
And for the record, I don't eat Baby Ruths anymore. But that's
grossies. Gross.
And they don't sell them at the pool anymore either. So,
mm-hmm.
All right. So let's talk about the whole idea, craft beer.
Yes.
Why has it become so damn popular?
Well, it's pretty simple. I think a lot of people, or at least people between the ages of, I would say, between 25 and 50, are tired of drinking the same old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you can get Budweiser and Bud Light and Corona, Heineken, anywhere. I think craft beer has become such a niche market because people want different tastes. They want their palate expanded a little bit. It's much like wine.
Mm.
Some people are Chardonnay drinkers. Some people are Pinot Noir drinkers. Craft beer is the same way. You like IPAs. You like stouts. You like porters. There is a beer for everyone. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you don't ever like beer. You don't like the taste of this and that. I can find you a beer that you will drink and you will enjoy.
I'm not a beer drinker, but there is a vanilla porter that's like a seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could remember the name of it, but it is
good.
So tasty.
Yeah.
You're probably thinking of Breckenridge, Colorado. It's become an amazing thing. It's the same thing, you know, everybody pairs up wine with cheeses and chocolates and things. You can do the same thing with beer. Darker beers work great with chocolates. IPAs, which are much higher in bitterness, what we call international bittering units or IBU, the more bitter a beer, the better it is for spicy foods like chili, jambalaya, things like that. The IPA cuts through a little bit of that, you know, that spiciness.
Now, I saw in the note you sent over there were 3,400 breweries. 99% of them fit the small and independent craft definition. So,
right.
As an industry, it's almost endless. And like Christina's bringing up this like one flavor and this one that really got to her and she really liked.
Lane and Kugel.
Line and Kugel, yeah, sure, absolutely.
That's
but
it.
Line and Kugel is actually owned now by a big brewery. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's Miller Coors that owns them now.
Oh, I don't know. That's the one I was talking about.
Wow. Well,
yep.
You let her bring her phone to the studio.
Sorry,
she'll Google
Snow
anything.
Snowdrift Vanilla Porter.
But back to the question.
Sorry.
That's all right. The question, though, essentially is, with all of these breweries and so many of them being classified as craft and independent, I guess it allows a lot of experimentation. I mean, when the big boys aren't going to try to put out all these different flavors and varieties and textures, but when you have these small breweries that are catering to these niche markets, they can pretty much do whatever they want.
Well, Well, that's true, and that's where I think we're seeing the hyper-localization of craft beer. You're seeing a lot of places where you can go in any town, I don't care where it is, whether you're in Wisconsin, whether you're in Texas, you're in New Jersey, you're in California, you can go to a specific brewery and get the brew that you want. Home brewing is becoming a much bigger business now. And I think the what's great about it, my cousin, who's 25, brews his own beer, and I'll tell you something, it's as good as some of the stuff that's out there on the shelves right now that are being mass-produced.
How unique do you need to be considered like, okay, I'm a craft brewing company?
That's pretty easy. In order to be a craft brewery, you have to produce an annual production of 6 million barrels or less, which is about 3% of the U.S. annual sales. Now, the reason why it's 6 million, it used to be 2 million, but Samuel Adams got that up to 6 million barrels because they were producing so much and they still want to be considered a craft brewer. And the interesting thing about Sam Adams, Jim Cook was interviewed for a book, an author that I interviewed on the show a few weeks ago by the name of William Bostwick, The Brewer's Tale, A History of the World According to Beer. And he asked Jim Cook the question, what is the best beer that he has ever had? And his answer, surprisingly enough, was not his own brand, but Budweiser.
Really?
And the reason why he said Budweiser is because of consistency.
Okay.
He said, you can go into any bar, whether it's in Tokyo, Japan, or in America, and when you crack open that bottle of Budweiser, it's going to taste exactly the same. And that's what I think craft brewers are trying to get to, consistency, that every time they make a batch, you're going to get the same taste.
And that just makes simple sense. I mean, it's the same thing. Let's jump over to fast food. You buy a Big Mac in Seattle, it's going to taste the same as it is if you buy one in downtown Newark. It's just the way it is. And your customers expect a certain consistency. And how difficult is it for a small brewery, a craft brewery, to be able to achieve that similar taste? Because you could chase a lot of people away. Because let's say, like Christina with her vanilla beer over here, she
right.
really loved it the first time. The second time,
not
it's
so
not
much.
As vanilla-y.
Right.
And she's like, oh, forget it, I'm not going back to this. So how difficult is it for them to be able to replicate that taste time and time again?
Well, when you're a larger size craft brewery, it's pretty easy because a lot of this stuff is done, you know, it's measured out, you know, done by, you know, whether it's a computer or whether the brewmaster is experienced enough that he knows exactly how much of the ingredients he has to put in.
Right.
When you're a smaller brewer, it's a little bit more difficult. You don't have the money, you don't have the capital to do those things. So you're kind of trial and erroring it a little bit. And sometimes the mix comes out, you know, a little bit stronger on the vanilla side. Maybe the next time around it's a little bit weaker. So I think the smaller brewer has a little bit more of a tougher time of getting that consistency. The larger ones, though, I think do a pretty good job of, you know, making sure that their beer is fairly consistent about, you know, 90% of the time.
I've tried some wild craft beers. I've tried one that tasted like pretzels. I've
okay.
tried one that had like a chocolatey flavor to
mm-hmm.
it. You know, obviously there's all like the pumpkin flavors and all the
right.
seasonal stuff, this, that, and the other thing. Now, a craft brewer says, okay, I want to make this pretzel beer. It's going to be great. Oh my, you know, this is the best thing. And then it flops.
Right.
And then what happens? Like, all that beer, they throw it out?
They throw it out. They have to get rid of it.
Wow.
And, wow.
You know, and that's what happens. And so what they do is they'll make smaller batches. They won't make a big vat of it and say, all right, this is it. This is a success.
Yeah.
They'll usually make a small one that the brewmaster and a few other people will come up with and say, okay, how does this one taste? This one tastes pretty good. It's funny. I talked to the brewmaster from Flying Dog Brewery a couple of weeks ago. And I asked him a particular question, such like that, in terms of what was a beer that you thought was going to be outrageous
mm-hmm.
and it ended up failing, and it was a flavored beer that they were trying to come up with. It ended up being a good IPA, but the flavor that they were looking for just didn't cut it.
All right, now let's wrap up with something you do on your show. You do suds and duds, things you really like and things you really don't like. Give us a sud, give us a dud.
For this week, a sud that I really like is a particular beer from Carton Brewery. They're out of the Atlantic Highlands in New Jersey. It's their Irish regular coffee, Irish style.
Ooh.
And I'm getting the name wrong, but has a little bit of mint in it, a little bit of coffee flavor, but in the end, it's 12% alcohol
Holy
by volume.
Mackerel.
So it's very strong.
Hello.
You know, one or two cans and you're pretty much done.
Yeah, no kidding.
For 2 weeks, I know.
Yeah, exactly. But it goes down smooth. It's really good. And it's one of those ones where if you age it a little bit for a couple of months, probably tastes a whole lot better. For a dud, I would have to say, and my friends at 902 Brewing out of Hoboken are going to kill me.
Uh-oh.
But I had a particular session IPA that they produced, and the only way I could describe it was very flowery and earthy.
Mm.
I hate to use those terms, but it felt like they had just like brewed the beer on the ground and then put it in the glass.
So it tasted like dirt and beets.
That's not good.
Kind of, and I really wasn't in the mood for it. It just didn't. It didn't sit well for me. I mean, they make some other good stuff. Their Black Dynamite is great, but this one, ugh, it was a dud.
You and I have sons about the same age. It'd be like something they'd bring home as a science project, and you don't want to be drinking that. All right. Now, the show itself is a great listen. We all know if you're in the New York City area, you can listen to it Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, on AM 970, The Answer Radio. For folks in and around the country that want to tune in, how can they hear the show, Al?
Very simple. Go to AM970TheAnswer.com. You click on the Listen Live button. You can listen anywhere in the country. We have podcasts as well. They're usually up by the next day. And there's a show page there. You can click on any of the past shows.
Very nice. Al Gattullo, host of the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast. Thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Ed, Christina, great to be with you.
Thank you.
Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalegi.
I'm Christina Stoppa.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network. America
Weekend. Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.